Later, Irulan had walked into Paul's private study and interrupted a meeting with Stilgar, freshly returned from an off-world military mission. While the Fremen commander watched, looking at her sourly as he often did, Irulan had handed the reef pearls to Paul. "I believe this keepsake belongs to you, my husband, not to me. I am Muad'Dib now. Atreides' heirlooms are no longer important to me." With a casual motion, Paul had tossed the reef pearls back to her. "Keep them yourself, or send them to my mother on Caladan, as you like." The princess had gone away with the necklace, questions churning through her mind. Now, as she held the strand of pearls up to the light from an overhead glow globe, Irulan looked through a handheld magnifier and found the minuscule hawk crest, as expected. But something wasn't right. Laying out the reef pearls, she looked at them under a focusing lens. Previously, the second pearl from the clasp had been distinguished by a barely perceptible scratch that the jeweler pointed out to her. Now, she could not locate it. Her heart racing, Irulan looked again, increasing the magnification just to verify her suspicions. Not there. Carrying the pearls, she marched off to the grand ballroom where servants were setting up dinner. She still wore wrinkled and dusty clothing from her day on the streets of Arrakeen, but she did not care about decorum. When Aaliyah arrived with Duncan and took her customary place at the head of the table, Irulan laid the pearls on her own dinner plate. "I must commend you on an excellent job of copying, Lady Aaliyah. However, your craftsman failed to take into account a small scratch on one of the pearls." Rather than being incensed, Aaliyah responded with a wide smile. "You see, Duncan, Irulan is not as easily fooled as you expected. She noticed a flaw that even our experts disregarded." Her new husband wore a slight frown. "I did suggest that we ask her openly for the original, instead of attempting secrecy." Irulan waited for an explanation, and Aaliyah said lightly, "We confiscated the original because it is a relic of House Atreides. It has nothing to do with you, Irulan. Paul himself told me I could keep it. You received many items from my brother. Legitimately, I was his wife. We both know the truth of that, Irulan. Because of their important religious significance, all of your original keepsakes have been replaced with copies. The true relics will be placed under the care and guard of the Kizaret, and select authorized replicas will be made available to certain devout and generous collectors." Irulan felt anger, but used her Bene Gesserit training to remain calm. "Those were my possessions. Gifts from my husband." She was edging into dangerous territory, but she set aside her fear and tried to keep her voice steady. "With all due respect, because of my dedication and loyalty, I have earned the right to keep my own things." "Oh, enough melodrama, Irulan Carino. They were never your things. I don't see how any of this can matter to you. You are not really an Atreides." Giving her a dismissive gesture, Aaliyah called for the first course. By now, other diners had halted their conversations, and the usual dinner table murmurings had dwindled to a few tinklings of silverware, glasses, and plates. Servants rushed about in a great flurry, serving extravagant salads, lush greens, and succulent raw vegetables grown in moisture-sealed greenhouses inside the citadel. It was clear Aaliyah wanted to speak no more of the matter. In a voice as brittle as dried bone, Irulan asked, "Will the Lady Jessica be joining us for dinner?" "My mother has chosen to meditate in her own rooms." Irulan decided to pay a visit to Jessica later in the evening. It was obvious that the other woman had much more to tell her, but Irulan hadn't been ready to hear it. Irulan ate, and then excused herself as quickly as possible. When Jessica responded to a subdued knock at the door to her private apartments, she found the princess standing there alone and troubled. In an instant, she read many things in the younger woman's expression. "Please come inside for a cup of spiced tea." After Jessica had closed the door behind them, Irulan used finger talk to silently explain what Aaliyah had done. Her coded words were tentative at first, but she gained energy as she allowed herself to become more upset. She felt a need for secrecy, perhaps irrationally, since Aaliyah had just confirmed what she'd done in front of all the attendees at the banquet. Absorbing the new information, Jessica let out a long sigh. Her fingers flashed in subtle communication, acknowledging the potential danger they faced. "My daughter grows increasingly unpredictable, and the challenge before you is great. You walk a dangerous, fine line, just as Paul did when he looked into the future and saw only a treacherous and uncertain path. Aaliyah is the rightful regent of the Imperium, and we must accept that. But even Aaliyah doesn't see everything. You have an important role, as do I, as does Bronzo of Ix." Irulan was startled. "Bronzo has an important role?" "Paul understood it before I did, Irulan, and he asked us for help." She gave a finger sign for added caution. Aaliyah knew every Bene Gesserit code, and if there were hidden spy eyes. Feigning casualness, Jessica sat back against her comfortable cushions and reached over to pour them tea. Openly, as a diversion, she spoke of how much she missed Caladan and hoped to return there soon. All the while, the fingers of one hand flashed subtly with the real message. "You will make your own decisions, Irulan, but in determining what to write, you must first know the truth in all of its dimensions. Your special duty is to protect Paul's legacy." Hunching over, hiding her hands in her lap, Jessica continued her quick finger signs. "You must hear the rest of the story about Bronzo and Paul. Only then will you understand why Bronzo writes what he does. We cannot speak here. I will arrange a safe time and place."